Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, America. Hope you're celebrating responsibly today. Whether you're drinking green root beer or any other kind of green libations. We got a lot going on today. Sissy Graham Lynch is going to drop by. Franklin Graham's daughter going to weigh in on transgenderism in women's sports. Also, Congressman Rich McCormick and Dan Bishop are here talking about the Biden crime syndicate. And we have some developing news to share with you on that in just a few moments. I want to start out, though, with an item we just posted on social media about the lieutenant governor of Minnesota. And she's very upset with all of you parents out there. Her name is Peggy Flanagan. And Miss Flanagan held a press conference where she called out all of you moms and dads. Now, Flanagan is a leftist, and she is very concerned about all you parents who are not affirming your child's choices in life. She says that if you really want to be a good parent, you have to affirm your child. So if your child comes to you and says, Mommy, and little Billy comes to you and says, Mommy, I'm not Billy anymore. I want to go as Sally because I identify as a girl. The lieutenant governor says, you, parent, you have a responsibility to accept that child no matter what they say. So you have to accept that child as a girl, even though he is a boy. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been around children. I was a child once myself, and you go through stages. You go through phases as a child. There are some days when you think you are an astronaut. There are some days when you think you are a fire truck. So my question is to the lieutenant governor, if we are to accept these children at face value with their personal identities, what exactly are we supposed to do? How far do we go to play along, to humor the children? For example, I mean, if you're going out for lunch at Chick-fil-A and your kid identifies as a fire truck, are you going to drop by the Chevron station and get him a gallon of gasoline? I don't think so. But the lieutenant governor of Minnesota says, if you don't do that, well, you are a bad parent. Cut number one.
Because let's be clear, this is life-affirming and life-saving health care. When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. That's what it means to be a good parent.
So the lieutenant governor was giving that speech at an event marking the signing of an executive order that now establishes Minnesota as a trans refuge. So if you are transgender, you can go to Minnesota and they're going to affirm you. But again, when you step back for a moment and you realize, well, wait a second. What happens if your kid identifies as a tree? Are you going to take the kid in the backyard and plant him and water him? Is that what you're going to do? What happens if your kid identifies as a puppy dog? You're going to let him sleep in the doghouse? Going to give him puppy chow for supper? Is that what you're going to do? So Elon Musk is weighing in on this. He says that these kids are being fed propaganda by adults. He says every child goes through an identity crisis before their personality, their identity crystallizes. Therefore, we should not allow severe, irreversible surgery or sterilizing drugs that they may regret until at least the age of 18. In other words, Let the kids grow up. Let them decide for themselves, because that little boy may grow up to be a little boy, but he can't grow up to be a young man if they whack off his private parts when he's 3 years old. And yet here you have the lieutenant governor of Minnesota saying, no, 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 no. We have to allow these children to make up their own minds. And our job as parents is to just affirm those decisions. So I'm curious for the parents out there in our listening audience today, do you affirm your child's decision? Is that good parenting in your estimation? Because we're moving down a path, and I just want to alert you to this, so just pay attention to the signs, the road signs here. We're moving to a place in American history where the government will step in and take away your child if you do not affirm their lifestyle of the week. That's where all of this is going. So I'm just curious, from a parental standpoint, is that good parenting to affirm your child for what they identify as? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, we've got a lot to go through today and a lot of information to share with you about the investigation into the Biden crime syndicate. And now we're getting even more details about how much money the Biden family was actually getting from China. And it's pretty clear to me, based on the evidence that Congressman James Comer and his committee have uncovered, by the way, this is all verified information through the Treasury Department. It's very clear to me that the reason why we didn't shoot down that big jet, that big balloon, the spy balloon, is because the Biden crime family is getting paid off by China. The Fox News reporting, the Biden family received more than $1 million in payments from accounts related to Hunter Biden's business associate, Rob Walker. Among those who got cash are President Biden's brother, Jim, a couple of their business associates. Also, the widow of Beau Biden, who was at the time, I believe, shacking up with Hunter Biden. Man, there is some creepy stuff going on in that family. Now, a spokesperson for Hunter Biden's legal team confirmed the payments, but said that they belonged to Hunter, his uncle, Haley Biden, and nobody else. But there is one unknown Biden who got money, and they're not saying who that person is. So James Comer was on Hannity last night. Here's what he had to say. Cut 12.
One thing that I noticed that was unique about these wire transfers is each transfer is like a check. You have the name, address, date, the dollar amount, and also the memo, which is what it's for. Every other wire transfer from Robinson Walker had something listed in the memo, except the ones to the Bidens. So if they had put in the memo, I might have had a little better idea of what the money was for that the Bidens received. But at the end of the day, what Joe Biden's defenders have said is, this is a business deal. This is a business deal. Well, what's the business, Sean? There's no business. There's no business. They were influence peddling. They were, it looks like they were getting money for some type of service. Now, I don't think Hunter Biden could provide the type of service that would generate millions and millions of dollars from the Chinese Communist Party, but I believe his father could. So when they say that Joe Biden wasn't involved, we don't know that. We just know that Joe Biden met with a lot of these people that ended up going in business with Hunter, or ended up paying Hunter, rather, and the family. And that's another thing. They've tried to imply that there was only a couple of family members. But what we found is there are multiple family members, and there's going to end up being between 4 and 7 Bidens who received significant amounts of money from communist China.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing, too, as many as 7 members of the Biden family. And folks, keep in mind, Biden has been in Congress since he was a young guy, very young. This is the only job he has known. So someone needs to explain to the nation how the Biden family is worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars right now. This is a scandal right before our very eyes. So we're going to be getting into more of that with our friends over on Capitol Hill a little bit later on. I want to go to the phones here. And by the way, today is Open Line Friday. That means you can call in and talk to me about whatever you want to talk about. Let's go to Rhonda in Georgia. WDUN wants to weigh in on this lieutenant governor. Hey, Rhonda, welcome to the program.
Hello.
All right, Rhonda, you're on the air. What say you?
Okay. So my son can come to me today and tell me he's president of the United States. Does that mean we can put him in there?
It does, Rhonda, and I think you can also get Secret Service protection.
Great. And then I want to say about your affirming to be a good parent. Teach your child about Jesus Christ.
Well, that would certainly, honestly, that tops my list. And if you do that, I think you're going to avoid a lot of problems later in life. But, Rhonda, I think the problem is people have replaced God with the almighty dollar. And in some cases, they've replaced God with big government. And that's really caused a lot of confusion out there.
Yes, it has.
All right, Rhonda, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Rhonda just got right to the point. If her kid identifies as the president of the United States, does he get to be president? Well, according to the Democrats and according to society, absolutely. I mean, just think about it. If you have the right, if you have the right to disobey God, and ultimately when you are denying your gender, when you're denying your reproductive organs, you're denying God. You're saying that God screwed up, that God made a mistake. That's what's going on there. This is the path that they're taking us down, folks. Let's go to Bob in Georgia. Bob, what say you?
Good afternoon, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. Todd, I was just talking to the screener, and I said, I've got a fix for the country. I think our country is in a death spiral. It's very ill, so it needs to take the pill. And the pill is personal freedom, individual responsibility, lower taxes, and less government. And I thought this is something, puts it very simple. It's something that's been that way since the beginning of our founding of our country. And if we can get Rich McCormick, my representative, to take this and give the pill to his cohorts in Congress, then they'll sit there and understand how simple it is to fix the problems in America.
Well, we're going to be talking to your congressman a little bit later on in the program, and we'll just mention that with him. And I think you're right. The country is in a rough spot right now. All of this can be fixed. I mean, nothing is irreparable at this point. We're not at the point of no return. But when you've got a lieutenant governor of a state out there saying that moms and dads don't have a right to teach their kid right from wrong, that moms and dads have to basically bow down to their children and accept the whims and the fantasies of their children. We are in a slap crazy place in this country right now, Bob.
I absolutely agree. Our country is ill. I got the pill.
All right, Bob, appreciate the call there. Appreciate the anecdote as well. Folks, we've got to take a break. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Open Line Fridays. Coming up, we're going to be telling you about a brand new poll, Trump versus DeSantis in Florida. The good people of Florida have decided. We'll share those results with you next. This is the Todd Stern Show. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they don't have a clue how to fix it, folks. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you're vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can fit in a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. All right. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. You know, this is interesting, the ties here between Joe Biden's family and the Bushes. And it turned out that when President George W. Bush was in office, he's the guy that appointed Hunter Biden to the board of directors of Amtrak. And that was sort of in the early days of Hunter going on to garner these hundreds of millions of dollars in paychecks. They're all in cahoots, everybody. They're just all in cahoots. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Tyrone in Oregon, listening to us on radio station KYKN. Hi, Tyrone. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to ask you a question. You were talking about the kids and about affirming or changing their sex. How many children has this happened to?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I don't think there's been any significant studies that have been able to nail it down. I mean, if you listen to the LGBT side, it's a massive number. But I think by and large, we're not looking at a lot of people.
So really what you're saying is you don't know how many kids are being having sex changes. I mean, how many three-year-olds? You brought up a three-year-old. I was just wondering how many three-year-olds.
I don't know. I mean, they want to allow the three-year-olds to be able to undergo that kind of surgery. So it really doesn't matter if it's one or... Well, let me finish. It doesn't matter if it's one or 1,000. Do you really think that a three-year-old should be able to undergo and make the decision, has the intelligence to make the decision whether or not they want to switch from being a boy to a girl?
If you're asking me what I think that you're making something up. I don't think that there has been any three-year-olds that has gone through this this process.
Tyrone, they're saying anybody under the age of 18, I'm not making this up. We don't make stuff up on this radio program.
Okay.
You've got the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota wanting to make that state a safe space for any child that wants to undergo transgender surgery.
And did this Lieutenant Governor say anything about this three-year-old you're talking about?
It doesn't matter how old it is. Why is it? Why are you? Why? Look, let me ask you this. Anybody under the age, do you believe that a three-year-old should be able to have gender-affirming surgery?
Again, I believe.
Yes or no? Very simple question. What about a five-year-old?
I believe that this isn't real, and I don't think any parent would do that. But my question to you would be, now that we've established, we really don't know, but we do know that the church has molested many of your children over the years.
What does that have to do with anything, Tyrone? We're not talking about the church. We're talking about moms and dads.
If we're going to protect our children, don't you think we should address the people who are really molesting and hurting our children?
We're not talking about molestation. We're talking about medical mutilation surgeries, Tyrone.
And that's exactly the problem, is we're not talking about...
What's the problem, Tyrone? You're getting off the... I know you're trying to get off the reservation here. You called in and you asked a question. I'm trying to answer your question.
Yeah, we're not talking about what's really hurting the kids. And we know that children have been molested in the church.
Removing a child's private parts is quite frankly very dangerous in my estimation. Would you not agree?
Okay, but again, how many children has this happened to? You've never answered that question. I'm asking you, is it five? Is it six a year?
Tyrone, how many children? I don't know, but I'm telling you that your side, Tyrone, wants to whack off the private parts of children. Are you one of those people, Tyrone? Are you one of the perverts that wants to do that?
Tell me, and I know that it's not true. What you're saying is you're making it up. One more.
Tyrone, we're not making anything up, and I'm not going to have you. Look, if you want to have a conversation, Tyrone, we can do that. But we don't play this kind of leftist crap on this radio program. So you're going to call me a liar. We're going to hang up on you.
This is a simple question.
Do you understand the conversation, Tyrone? Do you understand the rules here?
One more thing before you go. I know you're going to hang up on me because you don't like what I'm going to have to say.
Tyrone, I'm letting you say.
I'm a president that hasn't had a recession in 100 years, ever.
So what are we talking about now? So you've gone from transgender. You see, here's the thing, Tyrone. You're a dishonest man. You're a dishonest man. You call in, you tell my call screener you want to talk about one subject, and then go on to two or three different others. Tyrone, I hate it for you. You had a national platform to spew your venom. But the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, it is true. The Democrats want to let your child, no matter how young they are, go through medical mutilation surgery. We're not making that up. And if you don't believe me, Tyrone, you can Google it. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code Starnes. All right. Well, Tyrone from Oregon tried to pull a fast one on us, but I want to circle back because, again, if you want to have a conversation, just be honest with our call screener about what you want to talk about, and we can have that discussion. So, look, NPR did a story several years ago, back in 2015, about a three-year-old transitioning from Jack to Jackie, a three-year-old. Now, when you're talking about the surgery to actually remove parts, these medical mutilation surgeries, those can be done as young as 14 years old. So we're talking about children here, folks, children. And that's the reality. Those are the facts, Tyrone. We do not make things up here on this radio program. All right, good to have you back with us. A lot going on today. Real quick, the latest Emerson, Florida poll. You folks in Florida are divided right now. 47% say they would vote for President Trump. 44% say they would vote for Governor Ron DeSantis in the latest poll. I want to go right now, though, to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us a friend of this program, host of an incredible podcast, Fearless, with Sissy Graham Lynch, Fearless Faith in a Compromising Culture. Sissy, hope you're doing well today.
Well, hey, thank you for having me today.
Well, I want to jump into a conversation we've been talking about for quite some time on this program, the fight, the battle over biological women in sports and whether or not we should be allowing men to play in women's sports and what kind of an impact that's actually having on biological women. And Sissy, I have to imagine that this is really heartbreaking for a lot of young ladies out there who want to be able to get scholarships and go on and have these professional careers.
You know, it is. And it seems like right after we get after one cultural battle and hurdle, we're on to another one. And this seems to be snowballing. We continue to see it every morning when we wake up in the news, another story of men entering the arena of women's sports. But you simply look at the Olympic records for men and women for the last 75 years. You don't need any new scientific research to show the unfairness of men competing in women's sports. They're stealing championships away. They're stealing scholarships and opportunities from women. And I'm raising two little girls. And as a parent, and I think for parents out there, you know, asking what should we do in these situations, us parents, we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And, of course, we just saw that happen in Vermont. Where the girls' basketball team wasn't going to play against another team that had a transgender on it. I mean, you think about just protecting our children physically. That's a pretty rough sport, contact sport. Those parents made a decision, and it had a, it impacted the whole school.
And not only that, Sissy, now we know that the entire school is being punished. None of the sports teams are going to be allowed to compete. Because they broke the law there in Vermont. They call it their discrimination policy regarding transgender students. And I hope the school district fights back. There are so many great religious liberty law firms out there that are, I'm sure, would be willing to defend this school. Then you had the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, and we started the program out with this comment, this wild comment that said moms and dads have a responsibility to accept their child's sexual identity, no matter what it is or how fluid it is. How do you respond to that as a parent?
This is just a time of confusion, and Satan is on a warpath, and Satan uses sin, which leads to confusion. We know he's the author of confusion. I think of young girls who used to be a tomboy in this world. Like, you cannot be a tomboy anymore because parents are start questioning their child. But I know I grew up with so many tomboys. My mom was the biggest tomboy growing up. And she says today, if she grew up today's time, they would have tried to tell her to transition, you know, but by science proves by the age of, you know, 14 and 15, we begin outgrowing all of that. And it's really tragic. I think it's become a huge business in the medical field. And instead of trying to help these kids, I mean, this is a tough generation and the things that they're challenged with. I think all of us have compassion on kids that are struggling with this, but instead of coming along and helping them and try to help them to know truth, that God has loved them, created them for a purpose, instead you see the medical field trying to make big bucks on them.
Well, I like the way you framed it. I mean, there really is confusion in the culture, and I think this, I don't know, maybe you might find a different approach here, but I think this is an attack on truth. You know, everybody has their own truth. We talk about that a lot these days, and we really don't talk about the fact that in this country there used to be something called absolute truth, and now everybody's got their own version of things.
Absolutely. Truth is relative to the individual now, but, you know, as Christians, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, before he was crucified, Pontius Pilate stood before him and asked him what was truth, and he stood face to face with truth. You know, we're getting ready to remember what Jesus did on the cross and celebrate Easter coming up. And we as Christians have to know that we stand on truth. And I think what's happened is the church today has become biblically illiterate. So that way, when it comes to fighting these cultural wars, we can't stand because we don't know what God's word is. We don't have a biblical worldview. And for those listening, I just want to encourage you to, these are tough situations, especially for parents and grandparents raising children, that we have to know God's word. We have to know what we believe, why we believe it. Scripture says that those who know their God will be able to stand in strength and take action. And right now, all of us need to be standing in strength. We have to be taking action in our communities, in our schools, but we have to know God, who he is and who his scripture is.
I think that is terrific advice. And folks, again, Cissy Graham Lynch on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Cissy, very excited and busy times for you guys at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I know your dad getting ready to head out on tour, doing a lot of gatherings across the country. They're calling it the Tidewater Tour.
Yep, my dad will be on tour end of April, the 1st of May. He'll hit six cities in Maryland, Virginia, and North Carolina to check out more details. You can check out God Loves You Tour, but this is my dad's heart. Is to share the hope of Jesus. He will always preach the gospel. He knows our time is short. The harvest is a short time. And he's using every opportunity to take the love of Jesus and to share the gospel.
Well, I just think this is wonderful and a part of so many of the important ministries that you guys are a part of, everything from Samaritan's Purse to the Evangelistic Association, not only meeting the physical needs of people all over the world, but also the spiritual needs of people.
Yeah, we're certainly, I know many of your listeners are big supporters of Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Of course, it has been busy. We've been working in Turkey. We're still working in Ukraine. I live here in Southwest Florida where the hurricane hit my home in Fort Myers, Florida. And Samaritan's Purse was here for 5 months serving the people here. But, you know, we want to go to where people are hurting in the ditches of life, help them in their greatest time of need. I think the world is changing quickly and people are uncertain and all these crises that are happening. People are fearful, but we come and we serve in the Lord's name. And then our Billy Graham chaplains, they come along, serve with our Samaritan's Purse team. And our chaplains just are there to love on. And pray with them, and many come to know the Lord through this time.
Well, I just think that's wonderful. And Cissy, we're going to leave it there. We appreciate great words, wise words that you bring to the culture in such a winsome way. And of course, folks, we have a direct link to her podcast over on the live show blog. Cissy, hope you have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Cissy Graham Lynch, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going right to the phones, Open Line Friday, so you can talk about whatever you want, the issue of the day. Maybe something that we talked about earlier in the week. I know a lot of people wanted to weigh in on the reparation story. We were not able to get to everyone's calls. So give us a holler, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Now, some big news from former President Trump. He is urging you to get a copy of this great new book from our buddy David Horowitz. It's called Final Battle. Trump says it's an amazing book, and it really is number one bestseller on Amazon. And David does this deep dive into the secret war led by leftists and the woke who want to destroy America as we know it. Now, Newsmax says Final Battle is the book of the year. Huckabee says he couldn't stop reading it. You're going to be able to get the Final Battle in bookstores, or you can check out the free offer, save $28. Call 800-NEWSMAX, that's 800-NEWSMAX, or go online to finalbattle611.com. Again, that's finalbattle611.com. You'll be able to get a free copy today. So this polling data out of Florida, Emerson College, it's a little weird. I'm really surprised here. I assumed DeSantis would be doing a little bit better in the polling against Trump, especially since it's his home state. This is Ron DeSantis. He's the governor of the state, for crying out loud. But the Emerson College poll has Trump at 47%, DeSantis at 44%. And even though it's that close, within the margin of error, that's still not good for DeSantis. By the way, the rounding out the poll here, Pence at 4%, Haley at 2%, Tim Scott 1%, and Pompeo at 1%. So there you go. It's my recommendation is that DeSantis needs to stop palling around with Karl Rove and Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush, and he needs to focus on the base of the party and embracing the base of the party. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. I want to get to the phones, though. Let's start in with Jim in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on that lieutenant governor of Minnesota. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, listen, I got something to say about that gal up and almost said the other word in Minnesota. But, you know, you listen to your kids. I understand that. I had two sons. But, you know, who's the adult in the room? You know what I'm saying? I told my sons, my job is to go to work. I was a professional pilot for 30 years. And I told them, my job is to make money to feed you and send you to school and clothe you. My job is to take care of you. Your job is to get good grades. If you do not get good grades, you should learn all the verses of the Marine Corps hymn because that's where your butt's going. I understand about listening to your kids. I understand all of that. But who's the adult in the room at the end of the day?
You see, Jim, that's a terrific question. And in some of these videos where you have the parents and they're on there with their child, and the child's coming out of the closet or whatever, and the parents got the purple or the pink hair or whatever. And you sit there and you ask yourself, who is the parent here? Who's really calling the shots?
Right, but what are they teaching in school? They should be taught reading, writing, arithmetic, calculus, whatever, computers. It's not transgender crap. You know, come on, let's get on with the program here. And they wonder about the education system in the United States. That's why the education system is failing.
That's why China is kicking our butt right now. In science, mathematics, is because we're not focusing on that. We're trying to confuse kids about their pronouns.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're worried about a pronoun instead of education. Come on. Who's the adult in the room at the end of the day?
Jim, that is the question of the century, and I appreciate you raising that. You give us a call back. I like the way you think here. And, folks, Jim's right on the money. Let's go to Baltimore. Kyle, listening to us, what's on your mind today? Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Todd, can you hear me?
You're coming in loud and clear.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
All right.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm calling on yesterday. I missed your show live but I caught a rerun, and I was listening to it, and there was a gentleman caller, Chris, who called up about reparations and started talking about receiving $3 million apiece for every African-American in the country.
Yes, that's correct.
And, and you know, I couldn't help but just laugh that I don't know how he pulled that number out, but I'm, you know, I'm 28. I'm working for a living, you know, making ends meet. 60% of, I think it's 60% of millennials don't own a home. You know, 40-some, 50-some percent aren't married, you know, so it's like the state or the government wants to raise taxes on people who don't have any assets to pay for reparations for people who, you know, most of whom don't have any relation to the, you know, direct descendants to the slave trade.
Kyle, it's Kyle, let me jump in here and let me reset, because that was a guy from Memphis calling. The story was actually out of San Francisco, where this, where the Board of Supervisors, their city council, is getting ready to affirm a $5 million per black person check. Every black adult eligible gets $5 million cash. All of their debt is going to be erased. All of their tax burden is going to be eliminated. They'll be able to purchase a home for $1. And they, for the next 250 years, every black citizen of San Francisco will receive $97,500 a year in a salary without having to have a job.
Yeah. So, you know, who is that targeted at? Is that targeted at, you know, the greatest generation, the boomer generation, the Gen Xers, the millennials, particularly white people? You know, it's plain and simple to me.
It's amazing to think, but think about this, Kyle. You're 28 years old, and they're saying that for the next 250 years, blacks in America will still be oppressed. So right now in America, blacks are being oppressed. That's what they want you to believe.
Oh, I know. I know what they want me to believe. So, you know, if anybody has the wherewithal to look up statistics, they would know that white children, there are less white children born in America today than people of color. So within the next 50 years, white people will be a minority in this country. Who's going to be writing them checks then?
Well, yes, but we will be the oppressive minority. We'll still be oppressing people, Kyle. It's,
Yeah, of course.
It's a great question. it's a great question you raised, though. And again, it's not just whites. They're saying that Hispanics and Asian Americans are also going to have to pay. They're going to have to pony up as well. So it's, I hear where you're coming from, but this is the poison fruit of critical race theory right there. That's what it is. And this is not going to end well. This country will descend into an all-out race war if stuff like this is approved.
I agree.
And it's sad. But, Kyle, thank you for listening, and be sure to give us a call back. And we love all of our listeners in Baltimore. WCBM, our great affiliate there, and they do carry us on delay. But we love all of our great listeners there in that part of the country. All right, folks, hang tight. This is Open Line Friday. We're going to get to your calls, I promise, today. 844-747-8868. You can weigh in on whatever you want to weigh in on today. It is St. Patrick's Day. We're going to do a little trivia in the next hour as well. And you'll be able to weigh in on the big stories of the day, reparations, the Lieutenant Governor, Biden, and the crime family syndicate. We've got some more audio to play and new information coming out about that, and we'll get to that as well as some special guests from Capitol Hill who are knee-deep in the investigation into Hunter Biden and the big guy himself, Joe Biden. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. Our website, by the way, is toddstearns.com. I'd love for you to check that out. Great material there. Oh, you got to read our story about Ron DeSantis and the pudding. We're going to get to that. We'll tell you more about that coming up after the break.
This week at Macy's, take an extra 20% off with your coupon or Macy's card and save on handbags, shoes, and more spring-ready accessories. Get 25% off comfy pajamas she'll love. And take an extra 15% off bedding and bath essentials to refresh your space.
Plus, Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. At Macy's. More at Macy's.com/StarRewards. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. So a couple of things, by the way, happy St. Patrick's Day. And we're going to be doing some trivia in just a little while. So hang tight, and we're going to get that out of the way momentarily. But I want to go back over this new poll from Emerson. They're looking at voters in Florida. And I'm curious to know from you Florida folks out there, why is it that a majority of you folks are supporting Donald Trump right now and not your beloved governor? I mean, Ron DeSantis, they're saying the guy is the next best thing to our Lord. And yet he is trailing in the most recent Emerson poll when it comes to the 2024 Republican presidential primary. So we're going to get into that today. I'm curious to hear from you. It is also open line Friday, so you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So there's a weird story, and I'm just going to be upfront with you about this. It's just weird, man. It's weird. The Daily Beast has gotten some intel about the eating habits of one Ronald DeSantis. And this is big news. It's clearly a slow news day that this is big news in the mainstream media, but it is. We're calling it Puddingate. You can call it what you want to, but here's the lowdown. Governor DeSantis is embroiled in this major culinary scandal. So apparently he was on an airplane. He was hungry. They gave him one of those little pudding cups. No, I don't know what variety it was. I'm sure it was one of the good ones. Was it Jell-O, J-E-L-L-O? That is my chocolate pudding cup to go to. That's my jam. So anyway, they gave him one of the cups, and you know how it is. They had that little aluminum metallic kind of a lid there. You have to peel it back, and then they give you a spoon, and you eat your pudding. Well, Governor DeSantis was on this airplane, and he did not have a spoon. So he decided that he was going to eat it with his fingers. So according to the Daily Beast reporting, I'm just going to read this. This is so terrible. The chatter over DeSantis' public engagement has also surfaced past unflattering stories about his social skills. And by the way, let me stop there. The guy just doesn't have social skills. He does not have that social engagement that Donald Trump has. For some people, it comes naturally, like Mike Huckabee. He's one of those guys. DeSantis, he's not one of those guys. Barack Obama, the same way. I'll tell you more about that later. Anyway, they say that going on to this Daily Beast story, they say he eats like a starving animal. So it's not like you sit down and like, oh, wow, there's a delicious Chick-fil-A sandwich. Before you can even say Chick-fil-A, he's already finished the thing. He's like scarfing it down like he's ravaged. They say he devours food during meetings. Quote, he would sit in the meetings and eat in front of people. Always like a starving animal who has never eaten before, getting blank everywhere. I guess he's got a lot of crumbs. Spittle flying about. Little pieces of the Chick-fil-A sandwich just spewing out. Enshrined in DeSantis lore is an episode from 4 years ago. During a private plane trip from Tallahassee to Washington, D.C. in March of 2019. How specific is this? This is what cracks me up here. Somebody actually wrote all of this down as if they were journaling on the airplane. DeSantis enjoyed a chocolate pudding dessert by eating it with three of his fingers, according to two sources familiar with the incident. Now, another thing I find interesting is they actually had to find a second source to verify that DeSantis ate the chocolate pudding with three fingers. Are you sure it was three? It wasn't two? Are you sure it was the fingers and not the thumb or the pinky finger? I'm just saying. So anyway, I don't know what the big deal here is. It's kind of weird, kind of gross. I remember back in college, I remember specifically one day I didn't have a knife or something. I was going to make a peanut butter sandwich. And so I got my extra crunchy Jif, and I'm not proud of it, but I put my finger in it. I smeared the peanut butter on the sandwich. Does that mean I'm unqualified to be president of the United States? Is the Daily Beast concerned that Ron DeSantis is going to sit down for dinner at the Kremlin with Vladimir Putin, and when the pudding comes out, he's just going to just stick his paw in there and do like Winnie the Pooh does when he's got the honey pot? No! I don't think that's bad. Quite frankly, it might freak Putin out. Like, yo, comrade, what's up with this guy? He's got his fingers in the pudding. By the way, they're also doing a big expose on Donald Trump. Reporters are now pointing out that Trump is serving Kentucky Fried Chicken on his airplane. Trump Force One. Someone said, Todd, what does that mean? It means somebody's having a finger-licking good time on Trump Force One. That's what that is. I mean, who doesn't love KFC? Personally, I like the original recipe, not so much the extra crunchy, but it's very good chicken. Of course, President Trump's proclivity to McDonald's has also been well-documented, as if that is something bad. You know, the mainstream media, they look on Donald Trump as being uncouth because he enjoys going to Mickey D's. I wrote a chapter in my book, Culture Jihad, about an incident that happened back in 2008. This is a funny story. So Mitt Romney was trying to relate to all the Southern people. And you might remember this. He was going down south, and he sat down, and they asked him how his grits were. They gave him grits. Now, this is just between you and me. I don't want you guys sharing this information with the political candidates because I don't want them to know how we operate down here in the southern states. But most of us don't eat grits down here. I just want to be honest with you. Most of us don't. So we feed the grits to the politicians just to kind of test them out to see if they're going to be honest with us. And we feed them the white grits. Folks, if you're served white grits that have the consistency of, like, I don't know, slop, just run away from the table. If you're going to eat grits, they need to be stone ground yellow grits with some cheese in it. So anyway, I digress. So anyway, Mitt Romney's down south somewhere, and they give him a big old plate of grits. And they're white grits, the nasty grits. And they asked him how the grits were. And he said, I love this grit. Grits is plural and singular, sir. It's not one grit. It's grits. It's a collective. Grits, Mr. Romney. But that's not the gist of the story. Romney was then served a piece of delicious fried chicken. And then he commenced to commit a culinary heresy. Romney took the skin off the fried chicken and set it aside and discarded the fried chicken skin, which is the best part of the fried chicken. It was so heinous that Mike Huckabee, I am not making this up, you can Google it, Mike Huckabee called a national press conference on the campaign trail to condemn Mitt Romney for desecrating the southern bird. I kid you not. All that to say, people really get nutted up about stuff like this. I think it's fairly entertaining. I do remember when de Blasio, Comrade de Blasio out of NYC, was caught eating a slice of pizza with a knife and fork. I thought they were going to kill him right there in the Bronx. I'd never seen anything. I mean, I know we take our food seriously in the South, but when it comes to pizza in New York City, they will cut you. I'm just saying. So anyway, I know that they love attacking and making fun of the uncouth Republicans. But at least our guys are able to eat solid food. I mean, you got poor Joe Biden right now slurping down rice pudding with a straw and chugging cans of Ensure. but nobody cares about that. Anyway, I've got a new nickname for DeSantis. Are y'all ready for this one? I'm not a big fan of little D. No, Tiny D. That's what he's calling DeSantis. Trump's calling DeSantis Tiny D. How about Puddin' Fingers? Puddin' Fingers. And no, not the G, just the N. Puddin'. Puddin' Fingers. Puddin' Fingers DeSantis. It's got a ring to it. I'm just saying. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to the phones. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You used to associate crickets with silence. But since you bought a house in the suburbs, you know crickets hate silence. If any other creature realized rubbing its legs together made a piercing, high-pitched noise, they might think, maybe I won't do that. Constantly. All night long. Luckily, you can save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. Now that's something to make noise about. Just not constantly. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
All right, March Madness. Got to be watching the Memphis Tigers tonight. Go Tigers, go. Guys, are you doing brackets? Mine already busted. Dadgummit. But, yeah, it was, we had a couple of big upsets. You had Arizona going down, Princeton beating Arizona, and then this Furman. By the way, I've got to play this audio. I love a good radio announcer. And we've got the guy they've got for Furman did a terrific job calling the game. This huge upset win last night, cut number two.
Inbounder. Clark gets it in, gets it back with 10. Clark double-teamed along the baseline, throws it up the floor, intercepted by Haynes. Pegues for three, and the win! He got it with 2.2 to go! 68-67 Paladins! Virginia calls its final timeout! They get it into Beekman on the right side. His three on the way. No! No! And Furman wins it! Furman wins it! J.P. Pegues getting mobbed by his teammates right here in front of us. The Paladins win it 68-67 and knock Virginia out of the tournament. Furman's first appearance since 1980 will not be one and done. Tom Van Hoy, look at this scene here on the floor.
The Purple Paladins. By the way, a little history here, fellas. And by the way, we have all family members working on the show today. But, you know, our family, we got a couple of buildings at Furman named after our ancestors over there. So a big Furman University. We had a lot of our relatives that went to school there, played basketball there. So a lot of sports stars back in the day from Furman University. It used to be a good Baptist school. Then there was Kamala Harris, who got booed, by the way. They booed her at March Madness at the NCAA basketball tournament. Her school, Howard, got drilled. They lost by 30 points. So just imagine, you're a basketball player. You just got your butt handed to you. You're going to the locker room. You're in a bad mood. You don't want to talk to anybody because you just got whooped. And all of a sudden, in comes Kamala Harris to give you a pep talk. Take a listen.
You guys are so good. You played hard. You played to the very last second. You made all us Bison so, so proud.
Goody for you.
You showed the world who Bison are.
They can't play basketball.
You know, I was at Howard back in the day where we were just happy that there was a game. Much less getting to this place.
You little cuties.
Right? And I see Bison literally all over the world, and we've been talking about you, this team. You make us so proud. So I know you may not be feeling great right now, okay? But know who you are.
Okay.
You are excellence.
What's wrong with that woman? Who talks to adults like that?
Oh, you cutie. You are so good, so good. Oh, we're so proud of you. Even though you lost by 30 points, we love you. You're making history.
Well, no, actually, they're not making history unless it's the worst loss in NCAA basketball history because because Howard, they've been to the big dance before. So something's clearly wrong with this woman. The way she talks to everybody like they're children. Is she mentally okay upstairs? Do we know? Have we done a cognitive test on the Vice President of the United States?
So good. So good, boys.
Jeez, Lou. The poor guys, the players, it was so cringy. We've got the video up on our website, and you got to see the video. It's so awkward. All right, let's go to the phones here. Gerald in Oregon, radio station KYKN. Hey, Gerald, what's on your mind?
Morning, Todd. How you doing?
Doing well, Gerald.
Good, good. Hey, quick comment, sidebar comment, and then I'll get on to my topic. Ron DeSantis. Naval officer, not eating food with his hands. Come on. If the man decides to run for president, actually he will give Donald Trump a very fair run for president. He's a qualified politician. That's all I'm going to say about it. I don't know if I'm going to vote for him or not, but I'm not going to get caught up in that. That's ridiculous.
Gerald, hold on. I'll let you get to your second point here. You raise a good point. I mean, it's just kind of, it's a silly season. I will say this. If you have a chance to meet him in a social setting, before you shake his hand, just make sure there's no pudding on it. So that's.
Yeah. All right.
Just
all
get, right, a, get a Kleenex. Wet there wipe, please.
Well, I mean, for the stuff they talk about Donald Trump, if that's the only thing they have to say, then we're ahead in the game. Anyway. Bottom line, reparations. I got a quick question for you. How many people died in the Civil War from the Union?
Oh, wow. And yeah, lots.
Has that ever happened in any other scenario where there's been slavery? And the other side of it is, I think the United States is a pretty great country. And yeah, sure, we're human. Nobody ever says that we're not human. But I got a little something to be said as well. I think slavery is worse today than it was back then. Not in this country, but across the world. So if you're really worried about slavery, let's have a kind of maybe a worldwide opinion and get rid of it altogether. I'm totally in for that. I have good friends that are black. I'm pretty varied here. But reparations, no. I think black people have a very good, if they wanted to, have a very good life in the United States. And if they do not wish to live here and there are better places in the world, this is a free country. You can, go wherever you want to go.
Now, that's a fair point, Gerald. But I will say this. I want to take you to task because I don't think you're being fair to people like the Obamas, where they have, two, three homes right now, the $11 million, $12 million beachfront home that could fall into the ocean at any time now. I mean, what are people like that to do? I can feel the oppression that they're suffering. People like Oprah and her seaside villas over in California. I mean, these people are suffering, Gerald. They need the reparations, if nothing else, to keep paying the mortgage on their homes.
Hey, and Todd, come on now. Here's the deal. I really honestly, and that's what really gets me is, right? Because I'll confess, I'm a Christian. I believe that my responsibility is to share Christ's love to my fellow man. Black, brown, orange, green, yellow, whatever color there is, right? I'm not to look upon anybody with color.
No, and you're right. And Gerald, we're coming up on a break here, and I completely agree with your point here that we are all God's creation, every single one of us. And I take nothing away from anybody over that. But that doesn't mean, as a good church-going Christian, that I got to hand over my wallet. I'm just saying. Hey, Gerald, God bless you. Folks, hang tight. Your calls coming up next on Open Line Friday. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us on this St. Patrick's Day. A couple of headlines coming out of Washington. President Biden refusing to take questions earlier today. The White House defends not holding a press conference. You have the Irish, you have the leader of Ireland in the White House today, inside the building. And typically, when you have a world leader like that, like a prime minister, you would have a press conference, a little back and forth, their reporters, our reporters. Biden not doing that. And, of course, that's on the heels of this explosive testimony that the Biden family has been receiving millions of dollars from the Chinese. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from the 6th Congressional District in Georgia, Congressman Rich McCormick. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Thanks. It's a fine Irish day. I'm happy to be with you.
Yeah, I'm curious to know about your take on President Biden here and these scandals. Of course, Congressman Comer and his committee at House Oversight are really getting down to the nitty-gritty here and finding out some pretty explosive details and allegations.
You know, it is, there's so much going on when it comes to unveiling the truth. You're probably aware I'm the one freshman and the one Congress member who actually treated COVID, who's actually on the coronavirus subcommittee that's looking into the origins, to the ability for the government to censor physicians, to actually take over our businesses. There are so many misbehavings of the government and the Biden administration. It's almost endless. I feel sorry for Jim Jordan and the Judiciary Committee, Comer, and the people who have oversight, that they're going to be without rest for the rest of their tenure, just trying to dig into all the things that were done wrong.
I want to get your take on the this background check. President Biden issuing an executive order that he says is going to accelerate and intensify these attacks on law-abiding gun owners. This is pretty terrible stuff. I know National Review has been writing about it. Charles Cook says if Biden's background check has the teeth he says it does, it'll be illegal.
Well, yeah, first of all, realize that the first person who's going to be disqualified from owning a gun is going to be his own son. The amount of hypocrisy based in this, one of many unconstitutional reaches he's done as the executive, he really continues to double down on empowering the presidency over the legislative body and the true representative government of the people. I think Congress has for far too long deferred to the president to make decisions. We haven't declared a war since World War II, but we've been in tons of wars. I think we have been emasculated, and it's time to grab back control of our government and our laws and make sure that the people are empowered over the government like it was always intended. And this is just another unconstitutional reach by the president, which will be struck down in a court of law.
You mentioned, of course, that you're a freshman up on Capitol Hill. Any surprises, anything that's really kind of shocked you that you've seen since in your short time you've been up on Capitol Hill?
Well, you know, I'm asked that constantly. It's funny. I bet most freshmen are. I will say that starting off with the whole process of electing a speaker was fun. But then I think back 2 years ago when they went through January 6th and they went through COVID, all things they went through, I'm sure each Congress has its own challenges. The thing that surprises me the most is how many people have been in Congress for an awful long time who really don't dig into making themselves better at what they do. I mean, we have more information at our fingertips than maybe anybody other than the President of the United States. And you have the ability to become very good at what you do and know the topics extremely well. But as a freshman, I go up there and I ask things I think are fairly elementary as far as wanting to know policy or how we solve things. And it's surprising to me how many congressmen have not dug deep, who have not used the resources to become better at their job. I mean, to me, it's like going through medical school again. I literally am stretching my mind, maybe even losing sleep, because I'm trying to learn as much as possible on as many topics as I can to become a professional. And so many people are so distracted with the shiny object of the week, the talking points from each party, that they forget to dig deep and solve some very incredibly complex issues. And although I understand why a balloon is a big deal and really excited about the F-22 finally having its first kill of its career, I think there's some big, deep issues that we continue to neglect because we have not done our due diligence and become experts in our field.
All right, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Georgia, Congressman Rich McCormick. Congressman, Still a lot of fallout over the Russian downing of our drone just a few days ago. And it seems as though Congress is and the rhetoric has sort of died down here. What are we supposed to do when the Russians are shooting down our taking down our drones like they did?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. First of all, realize the Russians are looking to save face in some way, shape, or form. Without losing one military active duty person, we've taken down basically half of the Russian army. Think about what the USSR and Russia has represented to us since the 80s. And the powerhouse that we fought with this Cold War, and I'm a product of the Cold War. I joined the same year as Top Gun came out, so I'm kind of a product of that era. And the Russians have always kind of been that big bad boy on the block, but to see them basically taken down by Ukraine, a very poor nation that's just trying to defend their borders, and take out half of their army, and we've done it with pennies on the dollar, really, and to see their reaction out of embarrassment. Now, the question I have is, why are they shooting down our drones? Why are they wrecking our drones? Are they trying to hide a shipment from China? Are they trying to just anger us or trying to make the cost embarrassing to us because they've been embarrassed in massive amounts? What is their motives and how do we keep this from escalating? Because quite frankly, I want to keep our men and women out of that war. I want to make sure that my sons don't go off to war. I'd much rather see the Russians lose a war to somebody that they've invaded unjustly.
Yeah, well said on that. And Congressman, we're going to let it be there. I hope you and your family have a great St. Patrick's Day.
Great. I wish you many blessings. Great opportunity to talk with you. Thank you so much.
All right, Congressman Rich McCormick out of Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it weird how they've just stopped talking about it? And the reason why is nobody wants to go to that next level, which is punishing Russia for what they did. We're not going to do that. So I just want you to understand where we're at. The Pentagon now acknowledges that the Russians have been bullying our pilots for quite some time now. They have officially taken out one of our drones. They have recovered the parts of the drone, and we're not going to do anything about it. We're just not. So there you go. Just want to make sure you understand the lay of the land there. By the way, Paul writes in and wonders how many sons and daughters of Republicans in the Senate actually have children that are getting a paycheck from China? Is that one of the reasons why we have not heard a lot of outrage from Republican senators over these allegations that have been uncovered in Congress? That is a very good question, Paul. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Will in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Will. What's on your mind?
Happy Friday.
Absolutely.
So this is a little sidetrack here, but I was told that when you become a United States president that you are subjected to a random cognitive test, and apparently the test is saying your ABCs, and apparently if that is true, Joe Biden failed. He was the first president to actually fail this simple test, and I don't know if that's true or not, so I was wanting to do a fact check on it, but if it is true, that's just terrible. That's just absolutely terrible, and it might explain a lot of what he don't know or does know what he's doing to this country.
Will, we do know they take these tests, and we have to take it on face value when the doctor or the White House will release a statement, and they've done this for Trump as well, and they say, yeah, you know, the president aced the cognitive test. Not exactly sure what's on that, but if it's just the ABCs, Lord help us all.
That's right. Well, hope you have a great day. Appreciate what y'all do.
All right. Thanks a lot, Will. Appreciate you listening to us. Let's go to Doug in Illinois, wants to weigh in on reparations. Hey, Doug, what you got for us?
Hey, my two cents in it, Todd, is they've already admitted that the reparations is not going to work. They're talking about giving $5 million to each person, but then they're going to give payments for another 250 years. So if reparations was actually going to work, you wouldn't have to keep giving them money for another 250 years.
That's a fair point, Doug. And, you know, we had another caller, and they raised an excellent point, and I really hadn't thought much about this. But soon, whites will be the minority in the country. And so At that point, will the minorities be able to continue funding at those levels? We asked this question of the black leadership in Memphis, because in Memphis, it's a majority minority city. And we actually asked a question of the county commission, are black dollars going to be used to fund the study? Because it seems to me that would go against the whole reasoning of it all.
Yeah, well, they talked out in California where they wouldn't have to pay taxes anymore. So that cuts their tax base to fund the whole project anyway.
That's it. And again, if you object to this idea that someone deserves money that they did not work for because they were connected to slavery when, in fact, there is no connection to slavery, that makes you a racist somehow.
Yeah. One other quick thing, if you don't mind. We fought a war over this. The Northern Union states wanted to abolish slavery. The Southern Confederate states wanted to continue with slavery. So I'm thinking they should be going to the Confederate states government for their reparations.
Oh, no, they're coming. They're coming after all of us,
oh,
Doug.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeedy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Doug. Appreciate that call. And thanks for listening. Let's go to North Carolina. Thomas. Hey, Thomas, what's up?
I'm just thinking, well, I've been thinking about it a long time, the best way for reparations would be to every former individual that owned slaves in the past should pay reparations to every former slave that's still alive.
So if you're the descendant of a slave owner, you would be responsible,
nope.
Right?
Nope. Nope, just the individual that owned them, because I didn't own any slaves.
That's a fair point.
In other words, if my great-grandfather or whatever owned the slaves, then he should be required to pay any slave, former slave, that's still alive.
I kind of like that. So if you're a slave owner and you're still alive today, you got to pony up.
That's right. That's only fair.
And if we can find one, Thomas, I want to find out what they're eating.
That's right. And another thing I'd like to know is, where do I go to find this African architecture that built this country? I mean, would that be a homeless camp or something like that? I mean, I've never heard of anything, any building made with African architecture.
Well, I don't know. Thomas, I think the argument is that slave labor built the buildings, and so my contention is, okay, well, why don't we? Maybe they should just be dismantled. I mean, if it's that tainted, just dismantle, because most of them are now on university campuses and they're far leftist.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Thomas, good question. Let's go to John in Georgia. Hey, John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I think the waters are pretty muddied on the reparations end of it. Have you ever heard of a person named Anthony Johnson that was in 1642, circa, I believe, around 1642, Commonwealth, Virginia, a Mongolian?
It doesn't ring a bell, John.
That was actually the man from... Nigeria, I believe it was. He was a black man that brought indentured servitude to our country, or indentured servant. And they did not want to work out their contract, and they left. And, of course, he caught two of them, a black man and a white man, and the other black man refused to return to work, and there was a court case. And in that court case, it was determined that Anthony Johnson would be the owner of not only that man, but all of his future generations. And that was where the institution of slavery actually started in America.
Well, I'm not familiar with Anthony Johnson of the 17th century colony of Virginia, but I do know that all of this started in Africa among African tribes selling their enemies into slavery. That's where the slave trade started. So it's, I just don't understand why they're not taking their court case and their argument over to Africa and demanding the same reparations from Africa as they are people in this country who literally never owned slaves in a state where slavery was never legal. John, we got to run. I am late for a break. Thanks for that call. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. By the way, just in case you're wondering how far back African slavery goes, in other words, Africans selling their own people into slavery, you can go all the way back to 1558 B.C. That's before Christ. That's back to ancient Egypt times. So just want to throw that out there, because the BLM crowd and the Black Liberation folks and the CRT folks, they don't want to talk about how it all started. I'm just saying. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Chattanooga, Tennessee, our good buddy Mike. And Mike, I know you have a question. Can't wait to hear the question.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready.
We're in North Georgia on 107.5. But what's interesting is Slavak goes back to more whites being enslaved than Africans. But here we're looking at this a different way. We need to look at it a different way. My grandmother, who would have been 123 years old, would used to say, he's such a nice colored person or black man. I'd say, well, how black is he, Grandma? Being facetious. Like, why are you identifying him because of his color? And I think we can probably all agree that since humankind originated in Africa, which is huge, I mean, talk about Saudi Arabia to South Africa, we all probably have black blood in us. So how are they going to determine who's black? I mean, is it by our actual skin color, which there are some blacks that are actually white as far as skin color is concerned. And there are some that are nowhere near as black as some blacks from Africa. So I say we all obtain the reparations. I'm going to move to San Francisco and say I want a blood test. I'm sure being Sicilian, there's probably a little African blood in me. You never know. So we all should go for the reparations. What do you think?
Yeah, I like this.
Todd, I bet you have some African blood.
I'm sure I do. And I've got a little bit of jump in me. So I'm calling myself LeBron. LeBron starts heading to the tanning salon, going to get bronzed up, and I'm going to self-identify. But Mike, to your point, yeah,
how are they going to determine who is black? Is it going to be a blood test? And what percentage? If you're a white mom, black dad, is it going to be 10%? 10%, you're considered African.
Barack Obama.
You're considered black. Look at Obama. So
it's a great question, Mike. And by the way, you're not the first person to bring this up. CBS News actually did a report on whether or not you should be calling people African-American, because many blacks are not, in fact, from Africa. So, again, some might say it's semantics, but this is really important. And, Mike, I'll take it a step further. If you believe in the Bible and a literal interpretation of the Bible, we all came from the same place. So write me my reparations check, America. Mike, appreciate the call. God bless you, brother. We love Duga Radio, keeping it real out there in East Tennessee. Hour 3 coming up next. Stick around, everybody.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, America. Hope you're doing well. It's also March Madness. My brackets got busted yesterday. Wow. And apparently, some of you other folks may be getting ready to have your brackets busted. Let's check in with Dylan. What's the latest? I understand we have a sports news alert. I've never had one of these on the show.
Yeah, so Todd, right now, 14th seed rated Kennesaw State is playing number 3 seeded Xavier, and right now they're up 51-38 with 15 minutes left in the second quarter.
So Xavier could have, they've got a chance to come back here, but I know a lot of people in North Georgia are celebrating the Kennesaw Owls right now.
Yeah, so this will just be another one of those upset alerts, maybe. You know, my bracket's been gone since yesterday already, so.
I had Virginia pulling it off, and I should have gone with them. Normally, I pick out all the Baptist schools. I try to be religious.
Right.
Baylor, Furman.
Yeah, whatever works.
Liberty. You know. whoever's in, yeah, I don't think Liberty was in this year. No. But I always lose. But I feel good about it.
Yeah, I had Arizona in one of my brackets winning, and as soon as I saw them lose, I was like, man, I'm glad I made five brackets.
Wow. All right, well, keep us updated there. All right, you Kennesaw Owl fans, looks like it could be a good day for you guys. Cinderella team, who knows? Memphis Tigers playing later tonight, so it'll be a lot of fun. All right, open line Friday, ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to be going to your calls. Want to play some audio for you and also give you an update, some weird breaking news, pardon me, out of New York City. This is the reporting of WNBC, and they're saying that security measures are now in place for what could be a big event happening on Monday. Now, this is, again, the reporting of NBC News out of New York, WNBC. They're saying that local, state, and federal law enforcement and security agencies are preparing for the possibility that former President Trump could be indicted as early as next week. This is breaking news from NBC. I'll read to you what we know. Law enforcement agencies are conducting preliminary security assessments and discussing strategies for around the Manhattan Criminal Court, which is in Lower Manhattan. Spent many a time there in a satellite truck. Just in case Trump is charged in connection with an alleged hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. Now, I will say this. The reporting from the New York Times a few days ago, Maggie Haberman says this is a big nothing burger. So if they're going to try and go after Trump on this and indict Trump on this, This smacks of politics right here, folks. This smacks of politics. And Trump's already said that even if he gets indicted, he still plans on running for the White House. So we'll keep you updated on that, but that's the breaking news of the hour coming out of New York City. Also, Chastity Buttigieg, who is the spouse of Petey Buttigieg, who happens to be the trans sec of these great United States, very upset over this joke that Mike Pence told at the Gridiron Club, which is the big annual D.C. roast. And the Buttigiegs are not letting this thing go. This is unbelievable. They are very offended. The White House is calling for an apology, demanding an apology. How dare you ever tell a joke about a gay person? Who do you think you are? So now Chastity was on The View with the squawking magpies. He did another interview with Cal Penn. Take a listen.
At the Gridiron Dinner in Washington, D.C., that's a dinner where politicians are known to make humorous speeches. Vice President Mike Pence made a joke about your husband taking paternity leave, and he referred to it as maternity leave. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, my biggest reaction was, really? You're just going to recycle a 1998 joke that's like been around forever? But what was your reaction?
I mean, I think joke is being generous there.
Especially at the Daily Show.
You know, it's a sad trend of people on the other side, you know, using homophobia and misogyny to try to make a point. I mean, he's trying to launch a presidential campaign. And, you know, from my experience in presidential politics, it's about who you bring into the fold, right? What you inspire people to believe in a better version of America, especially in those early days. So I guess that's how he wants to start his campaign, which I don't think is surprising to any of us.
Okay, so in that case, he's using us to be relevant, and we're going to move on.
Exactly.
I'm just going to not give him that time.
So, look, here it is in a nutshell. Chastity Buttigieg is no longer allowed to crack any jokes against anybody, right? That's what he's saying, right? Chastity Buttigieg is now telling America, you're not allowed to crack jokes about gay people. If somebody's gay, you can't joke about it at all. Period. That's it. And if you do, well, that's homophobic. And I have to imagine he must feel that way about any comedian who says anything remotely humorous about the LGBTQIA community. Heterosexuals, I mean, you know, I'm a straight white guy, so we're the butt of a lot of jokes out there. I don't necessarily have a problem with them. Some of them are pretty darn funny. But again, I'm more open-minded. I'm more tolerant than some of these heterophobic people like Chastity Buttigieg. All right, let's work in a couple of calls here. 844-747-8868. This reparations topic has generated a lot of conversation around the country. I want to go to Ben in Georgia. WDUN. Ben, what's on your mind?
Well, Todd, what is it that determines someone's nationality? It's not their age, it's not their gender, it's not their color, their citizenship. What demonstrates their citizenship? Their passport. You have an American passport, you are an American citizen. Well, I happen to have an American passport, and I've got a passport from a country in Africa who is thanking me for some things we did in their country. So I think that makes me an American and an African, but I'm not African-American. I'm an American-African, and I want to know if I get a special dip or reparations for that.
I would say you should at least get maybe 30% of the $5 billion cut, Ben, at least.
Well, I'm thinking a dip and a half. About a dip and a half. Go the other way.
Okay. All right. Well, you're being generous. I'm just trying to be fair. But yeah, it's just ludicrous. And Ben, I used to joke around with folks. I'm like, man, some of these folks, and you hear these radicals, these CRT radicals, and you're like, I think they want people like me working the farms picking cotton. I think we're almost reverting now. It's like reverse racism.
It sure is. It's very sad, isn't it?
It's really sad. And it's, you know, you can't help but laugh about it, but it really is troubling that this kind of mindset exists, because they are raising generations of kids in our public schools, Ben, at a very young age. And they're telling these 4-, 5-, 6-year-olds that they should feel oppressed. And the people responsible are those little 4-, 5-, and 6-year-old white kids in the classroom. That will lead to a race war in this country.
Just amazing. Thank you for what you're doing, Todd. I appreciate it. And once reparations roll you around and I get some, I'll take you to lunch.
Ben, I'm holding you to that. I'll reserve a booth.
We'll go to the rendezvous and get some ribs.
Hey, now. All right. That sounds good to me. All right. Ben from Georgia. I love it. Let's go to Margaret in Georgia. The entire listening audience of WDUN is on hold right now. Hi, Margaret. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
What's on your mind, Margaret?
Okay, I just wanted to say something about the reparations due to slavery. I'm a Bible believer, and God gets the last say. And it's in Ezekiel, and the reason I'm letting you know about this is because I was my ancestors were slave owners, and I really did have a hard time after I learned that in the last few years. But we didn't get anything from that, from being having ancestors that were slave owners, because my daddy painted houses for a living, and I had a lot of siblings. There were 9 of us all together, but not at the same time. 2 of them were married and moved out of the house, and so my mom and daddy never did depend on the government. My mama stayed at home. We were poor, but yet we had all that we needed. And but anyway, we didn't benefit from that. I can say that. But there's a place in Ezekiel that talks about this, and in other words, it is saying that each person is responsible for his own sins. No man shall suffer the sins of his ancestors. So after I read that, or, you know, I've tried to find an answer for my own benefit, you know, for myself, because of the guilt, and I didn't want to carry that guilt. And so I don't feel guilty.
And Margaret, you should not feel guilty. It would be like, let's just say that, you know, somebody in your family shot and killed someone. Well, you know what? That's on that person. You don't bear responsibility for that evil crime, and I believe that slavery was an evil crime, and it was it was a horrible sin and stain on this country. But we bear no responsibility for that. We just have to, as a society, make sure we never ever go back to those days, which is why we need to be teaching American history and letting people know that this is a great experiment. In other words, what's an experiment? Some things are going to work, some things are not going to work. You're going to have successes. You're going to make mistakes, but you have to learn from those mistakes and grow. And anybody who says we are not a stronger country now than we were in the 1860s is just flat out lying to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've also heard that, you know, they were saying like they got these slaves got a mule and 40 acres. Well, they were on the land that the people who went out to war, when they came back home, they got that. They got it back.
4 million. 4 million slaves. Not all the slaves got it, but 4 million slaves got the 40 acres and a mule.
Areas of the United States.
Right.
They said, yes.
All right.
But,
well, Margaret, I appreciate your comments, and thank you for the call and your perspective. You know, going back into our Stearns family history, one of our great-great-great ancestors was a itinerant Methodist preacher, but he also had a moonshine still. So preaching was okay, but I hear the moonshine was pretty darn good from what I hear. All right, we're going to do a trivia question here, as promised. It is St. Patrick's Day, and you might be surprised to know that the official color of St. Patrick's Day was not originally green. It was another color. What was that color? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I think we've got a copy of one of my books as the prize today. You're going to love it, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Love for you to join us in November, taking a big group of folks to the Holy Land for a 7-day, 7-night journey across the nation of Israel. And we would love for you to be a part of that. You can get information at toddstearns.com. That's toddstearns.com. Family friendly trip, and it is a trip of a lifetime. Folks, it will be one that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Again, toddstearns.com to join us for our trip with the Holy Land later this year. All right, let's go to the phones here. We have a St. Patrick's Day trivia question on the line. Let's go to Brittany in Georgia. Hi, Brittany. How are you today? Hello. Hello, Brittany.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
All right, Brittany, let's try to win you a prize here. Now, normally, when you hear St. Patrick's Day, they say, oh, it's green. That's the official color of the holiday, of course. Ireland is the Emerald Isle, but that was not the original color associated with St. Patrick's Day. What was that color?
I believe it was the color blue.
Yeah, that's right, Brittany. Way, way back in the day, it was, in fact, the color blue. By the way, green ribbons and shamrocks worn as early as the 17th century. But congratulations, Brittany, you are a winner.
Thank you.
All right, hang tight. We're going to get all your info, and I'm going to send you a copy of my new book. Really, it's my latest book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. It's, by the way, folks, if you'd like to get a copy, you can order one over on the website or just go to your local bookstore. I'm sure they have it in stock. All right, there you go. We'll try to squeeze in another trivia question before the end of the show today. All right, let's get right back to the phones. Randall in Georgia wants to weigh in on reparations. Hey, Randall, what you got for us?
Hey, I just want to comment on the reparations. Todd, it's a first-time call for me. And like I said, when you want to give free money away, there's people going to line up for miles. And the Democrats is playing this game with people. And like I said, they don't care about white people, black people, or anybody. All they want is trying to get that vote. And what's going on is if they get this passed to give the money away, well, they're going to get the pat on the back. They're going to get the votes. And if they don't get, you know, if they don't get it passed, then they're going to blame it on the Republicans and say, listen, this is their fault. It's just a game for them.
You know, Randall, it's an interesting point you're bringing up here, because you're right. This really isn't about skin color, which is why they're opening the borders right now. They know they are losing black voters. They're hemorrhaging black voters. And why is that? Why are the Democrats hemorrhaging black voters? Because for generations, they have made them promises going all the way back to LBJ. And those promises have never come true. And so a lot of folks are waking up. President Trump, I think, was responsible predominantly for were so many blacks leaving the Democrat Party in the past two election cycles. So now the Democrats have to find yet another power base. They're throwing out reparations as really a bribe, much like they did with the college kids right before the midterm elections when they said, you know what, we're just going to wipe away all of your student loan debt. So that's how the Democrats do this. It's nothing more than an old-fashioned bribe. Randall, appreciate that call. Let's go to Junior in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on those drone videos. By the way, you can see those at toddstearns.com. Hey, Junior, what's up?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, I've been watching a video of the Russian jet coming by the drone and taking it out, and I'm just wondering, why do we not have videos of, these unidentified objects that were shot down, supposedly balloons or something? I'm just wondering, why don't we see videos of that?
Well, Junior, that is a great question. I don't think we shot anything down. And if we did, they probably were those, those balloons from the balloon clubs, right? The weather clubs. So maybe that's why. Right. Maybe they do have them and they don't want to show us what they really shot down.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's just amazing to me how we've got a drone that's unmanned.
Yeah.
It had all the video in the world, and then we got a jet that shoots a high-dollar missile at whether it be just a regular balloon from a Hobby Lobby shop or whatever, and we don't see videos. So I was just wondering, are there any videos out there or no videos? I just don't know.
Junior, that is a great question. Thank you for listening, by the way. Appreciate that. By the way, I had to go to Hobby Lobby yesterday. You can spend a lot of money in that place. It's dangerous. All right, got to take a break here. Congressman Dan Bishop coming up. Open Line Friday. Your calls. We're doing trivia. We're going to have a lot of fun in this last half hour. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy Friday to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Have they turned the Chicago River green yet? That's amazing. They've had two families that have been doing this. It's sort of a tradition going back generations. But whatever the chemical is they use, it's an orange vegetable-based chemical that actually turns the river green. Go figure. All right, it is Open Line Friday. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. You just have to give us a call, 844-747-8868, which is our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to Bob, and Bob wants to talk about Russia. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Oh, not much. That drone they knocked down, Russia knocked down, I think we should go knock one of their planes down.
Yeah, you think we ought to do something in retaliation, Bob?
Yeah, should.
I don't think they're going to, Bob. I think they're gonna hope we forget what the Russians did to us.
But don't you think if they did that, that would be getting us into World War III, like you were saying Biden's been trying to do?
Yeah, I do. I sure do. And the question is, so what do we do? What is the appropriate response? I don't think we can't just ignore it, but there's got to be something we can do to send a message to the Russians that we're not going to be messed with. You're not pushing us around.
So what you're saying is Ukraine, we shouldn't ignore them either?
Well, now, with Ukraine, again, I'm not sure that's our fight. Do you believe we ought to be over there, Bob?
No.
What's that?
Well, now, we need to aid them and help them.
Why do we need to do that?
Well, have you seen videos of poor people and slaughtered and laid in the street?
I have. And I've seen a lot of Ukrainians that have been persecuted, that have been targeted because of their religious beliefs by the Ukrainian government. So again,
Ukrainian government is persecuting people because of their religious beliefs.
They are. They're outlawing the Orthodox Christian religion there in Ukraine, and that's coming from Vladimir Zelensky, the president himself. So Bob,
I sure hadn't heard that one.
Yeah. Bob, I would Google it. There's been a lot of news stories, and I know we've got some stories up on our website as well, toddstearns.com, but I would recommend checking that out. Thank you for the call. 844-747-8868. By the way, the White House is now weighing in, and they're issuing a fairly blunt statement about these reports coming into the House Oversight Committee about these bank records. And it certainly looks like that a good many members of the Biden family, as many as seven, received financial benefit through this Chinese energy company. And the White House seems to be defending all of this. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. A good friend of this program, Congressman Dan Bishop from North Carolina, joins us. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Hi, Todd. I'm doing well. Hope you are.
I am. Certainly, Congressman Comer has been causing indigestion over at the White House with these revelations coming out of this committee. What's your take?
You might as well laugh as cry. It is extraordinary that you would see. I mean, the amount to Hallie Biden, I guess, was $35,000, if I saw that in the newest revelation. But it's just, money comes in from China. And then there's a question whether the company's tied to the Chinese Communist Party or not. But all companies essentially are pretty well within their grasp. And these millions come into a Hunter Biden associate, and then they get passed out to Jim Biden and Hunter Biden and Hallie Biden. And everybody knows what it looked like, has looked like for years. The story is getting deeper and deeper when you see yet another transaction. It is the most unseemly thing I've ever seen in American politics. And it looks like at the root of it, I mean, they're selling influence, and the only influence to be sold is Joe Biden. So we've got to finally have full accountability for all of that. I commend Chairman Comer for staying after it. I'm not on that committee, obviously, but it looks like corruption. Looks, sounds, and walks like corruption. It's probably corruption. Let's get to the bottom of it so the American people can finally know the full picture.
What I find fascinating about this, middle-class Joe Biden, he's never held a job outside of of Congress. I mean, that's it. And you guys, it looks like a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money when you have to live in Washington and then maintain a residence back home and put your own businesses on hold. So it's not a lot of money. And I'm curious to know, Forbes did a study back in 2021, and they determined that he was worth about $8 million when he left office in the vice presidency.
No way.
But he earned $17.3 million over the 4 years he was out of office. Smells to high heavens.
Yeah, it does. I guess I take guys who've left office or out of office, and I think all of it sort of has an odor to it, of course. But the ones that I think most Americans, and I hear this all the time, is how do these guys go up there? In the case of Congress, for example, and it's all about the same, make $174,000 a year. That some people have these rumors on the internet. You have these fabulous benefit programs in retirement. It's not true. It's really not very good at all. So how do people walk out of there, or how do they get to be, while they stay in Congress, they get to be multi-millionaires, or Joe Biden in an administration job that paid maybe $200 or something? How does he get it? No way. The only way I can, and they want, your stock transactions all got to be reported and so forth. Only way I see you do it is having a bunch of family members, and you salt them away in places, and they reach out and trade on your name. And that's what the Bidens have done. But they've been willing to do it, march around the globe and sell themselves to to Ukraine and Russia and China and go on and on. So
It seems to me, Congressman, in essence, that what we've got here is a money laundering case where you've got Joe Biden basically telling the family it's okay to do this so long as the big guy gets 10%. I mean, we haven't proven that yet, but that certainly seems to be where Comer is heading with his committee here.
It's all consistent with that. As you say, no smoking gun yet. But, yeah, that's the right – that two-word phrase is the right idea, money laundering. That's what it looks like.
Wow. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from North Carolina, our good friend Congressman Dan Bishop. Congressman, big concerns at the border. God bless Tennessee Congressman Mark Green. He really nailed Ortiz and got him on the record contradicting his own boss about operational control of the border, which we do not have.
Correct. I've been to the border. It was three different places. I went with the Judiciary Committee to Yuma, Arizona, a couple weeks ago, with Mark Green's Homeland Security Committee, went to El Paso, and then just yesterday had a, had a hearing in McAllen, Texas, Rio Grande sector, and that was where Chief of the U.S. Border Patrol, Raul Ortiz, somebody who's been willing to accommodate himself to the needs of the administration, more or less, until, but Border Patrol, those are the great guys that are on the green, the thin green line down there, and they've had a hell of a time and been under great stress, 17 suicides within that force of about 19,000, I believe it is, over the course of the last 18 months or so. And Chairman Green, you know, that Ortiz came ready to talk. He admitted to Mark Green very candidly that we do not have operational control of our southern border. He admitted to Michael Guest from Mississippi that, furthermore, there's a related concept that the border is not secure. He admitted to me that those consequences or that those symptoms are consequences of Biden policy. He admitted that the change, the Biden Mayorkas-led and Biden-led policy change from detain or turn away to catch and release is responsible for this. And that's a big – the reason those are so big is it's the first time we've been able to get that kind of candid answer out of a representative of the administration. Secretary Mayorkas will sit there and look at you in the eye and tell, and swear to you that the border is secure. And we all know, people know that it's not. And some out there, you know, in social media comments, they'll say, well, what does that matter? You just get, but it does. When you finally get acknowledged truth out of the administration is the first step to beginning to move in another direction, one way or the other, whether it's in this administration with a change of heart, which I think is very remote, or galvanizing the American people to make change.
And of course, the challenge here is Republicans, or the Democrats rather, are not doing anything. They're boycotting the hearings, the meetings. Even if you were able to get something through the House of Representatives, you've got another issue, which is the U.S. Senate controlled by the Democrats. So that's certainly not going anywhere. And my concern is how many more people are going to be able to get across that border? I mean, we all saw the 1,000-plus folks trying to storm the border. We're not going to be able to hold them off forever.
Sure. Title 42 officially goes away in May. The Border Patrol is bracing for the impact that they know is coming from that. That's going to block. It's going to be make a terrible. The highest ever numbers in history, in U.S. history, came in December. Dropped back a tad from that in January. But when this Title 42 goes away, the numbers are going to be even bigger. And you know, if we got to wait for a new administration, that the tools are there for the administration to get this under control if they wanted to. But if we're going to have to wait for a new administration, we got another probably 6 million people to come or more. And that's almost, you know, the devastation that's going to come from that, the strengthening of the cartel, the building of an organized crime structure syndicate in the United States from that, that goes on all the while. We really can't wait for that. We'll do everything we can in Congress. We've got some good bills that are coming forward, and we'll see. But as you say, the odds are tough. We got to figure out a way to leverage that and make sure the Democrats are held to account, or hopefully they'll come along and pass some changes to just get the border under control. That's
right.
The key.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. By the way, are you doing the brackets this year? I know you guys are slammed, but, you know, March Madness underway.
I tell you, I haven't done my bracket, Todd. I've just been too many flat out. I'm going as hard as I can go, but so I've sort of had to let that pass. But I hope you picked the winner.
I didn't. I'm my brackets are busted already. It happens every year.
I got enough tough jobs. I don't believe I can get that one done.
I understand. All right. Well, Congressman, have a great weekend. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you.
All right. Likewise. Congressman Dan Bishop out of North Carolina. By the way, you Kennesaw State Owls, it's tied up now, 67-67 with, 33 seconds to go. All right. You know what's going to happen. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm sure we will know the outcome of that game. A lot of people getting nervous because the brackets, people are, you know, freaking out over this. By the way, before we do that though, I got to share this story. Have you heard about this crazy monkey attack in Oklahoma? Why do people, and I just genuinely am confused by this, guys. And Kyle, I mean, you're a man of the world. You're like a cosmopolitan kind of guy.
What are you saying?
Will you introduce me to concepts like honey on pepperoni pizza?
Oh, yeah. That,
so, you know,
if you haven't tried it,
so
it's amazing.
Food. I mean, you're like a you've been out there. You've experienced the world. I just don't understand why people think that they can go up to a wild animal and treat that wild animal as if it's a cute little kitty cat.
I don't either. I have a friend that's in Alaska right now, and he has a video on his little Snapchat story, you know, this little app, social media, and he's petting a seal. And I commented, I said, "You're an idiot."
Those seals have teeth.
They're vicious.
They're evil. I know they look cute and cuddly, but then out come the teeth and you're missing a finger.
Exactly.
So the story here from Oklahoma, a neighbor's pet monkey attacked an Oklahoma mom in her front yard, nearly ripping her ear off her head, tearing out clumps of hair from her head. Brittany Parker of Dixon said she was relaxing in her home when the monkey climbed onto her front porch. He was pacing back and forth. Oh, that's always the bad sign when the monkey's pacing back and forth. And then he was jumping off my railing and hitting my storm door. So Parker called 911, but before the cops could get there, that's when the monkey attacked. Cut number three.
He was bouncing from my hand railing on my front porch. It happened so fast. The monkey had jumped up off of the ground onto my head and ripped out my hair and then ripped my ear like a piece of paper.
Oh, this is terrible. By the way, so she, fortunately, they were able to save the ear, which is good. You don't want to just go through life with one ear. And they had to give her a rabies shot. So now she's got to go through these rabies treatments because of the monkey. Who in their right mind has a monkey as a pet? Makes no sense.
Well, this isn't the first time this has happened either. Did you hear about the story back? There's a story back in 2021 where a chimp eats a woman's face off.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
You would have thought after that story, people were like, okay, maybe I should put the monkey away.
I'm good. Just put him in the zoo. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, how many seconds are left? They should have already finished the game by now. All right, we're working on it here, folks.
Let's see. It looks like 2.6 seconds left, Todd, but it's not looking good for Kennesaw State.
Oh dear.
They had to foul because they missed the shot. They had to foul one of the Xavier players. So 67-69 right now. 2.6 seconds left. The Xavier player is shooting another foul shot. If he makes this, it's probably game over.
We jinxed him.
Yeah, we did.
We jinxed him.
It was looking so hopeful.
It was looking promising, but then we jinxed it.
Yep.
Our apologies, Owls. We'll do better next year. We promise. All right. This story out of Fox News. Are you having a bad go of it at work? I mean, you know, 5 days, man, you get to hump day and it just seems like it's a trudge to get to Friday, right? So an Ohio school district, they've been hearing complaints from the teachers, and the teachers say they're exhausted, they're tired, that they can't work a full 5 day work week. So the North College Hill City School District has adopted a new calendar, and teachers and students only have to go to school 4 days a week. So when physically going into the building, 4 days a week, and then you're allowed to do an unsupervised workday at home, which, you know, everybody's sitting home either playing video games or watching TV. School District Superintendent Eugene Blaylock tells a local television station that he believes this could be a model that could save the profession of education. So I don't get this. I mean, look, I feel bad for teachers. I mean, you guys are caught in the middle of everything. But I am curious about your work schedule. So now they're saying you're going to get your summer vacation off and you get the 2 weeks for what, spring break and your winter break. And then you've got a fall break and now you're only going to have to work 4 days a week. Is that what they're trying to tell us here? Is that really? I don't know about you guys. I think I want to be a school teacher. That sounds like a pretty good gig if you can get it. So there you go. 4 day work week over at North College Hill City School District. Teachers, you might want to go ahead and put in a job application. All right, folks. Hey, be sure to head over to our website, toddstearns.com. New listeners, folks, we'd love for you to check out our podcast. You can download it for free. Our newsletter, you can get that for free as well. I want to thank our great team here, Kyle and Dylan. Executive producer Grace Baker, keeping the trains running on time. Folks, you get out there. Have a great St. Patrick's Day. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.